chapter 4 and 4, 1 through 13. I just want to make some highlight. This is good. Just preaching is short because we had a lot of problems together. This text is talking about the temptation of Jesus. This text is the one of many well-known stories from the Bible. The parallels of this text are in Matthew 4, 1 through 11, and Mark 12 and 13. Before we go to this text, let me raise the following questions. Do you believe that our God is living? If you say no, we have a big problem in this RTS community. Now, the next question. Do you believe that Satan or the devil is also existing? If you say no, we have also a problem in the RTS community. But there is a tendency that many Western people do not believe the devil's existence today. And on the other hand, many of Oriental people believe the devil's existence as some dead ancestor spirit or some special spiritual beings in a different way. But now, how about this question? Do you really believe that the devil or Satan actually exists and he has attacked and tempted God's people, including you as a Christian? If you say yes now, how do you know that? When does the devil attack you? Why does he attack you? How do you handle the temptation of the devil in your life? Today's text deals with such important issues. Today I would like to see this text from the following aspects. The one, the time Jesus was tempted by the devil. It is very important to recognize the significance of a time when the devil tempted Jesus and its implication for God's people. The second, how Jesus was tempted by the devil. It is also important to recognize the way the devil tempted Jesus and its implication for God's people. And the third, how Jesus handled the temptation. It is also very important to recognize the significance of how Jesus handled the temptation and its implication for God's people. The four, Jesus' victory from the temptations. Then let's see the significance of the time the devil tempted Jesus. Before Jesus started the public ministry, his public ministry as the Redeemer, there were two tremendously significant things in his life. One is his baptism in Luke chapter 3, 21 and 22, and the other is his temptation by the devil in this text. These two things are very important in the life of Jesus as the preliminary events for Jesus' official missions to save his own people. Today's text starts as following. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert. Jesus had been to the Jordan. He was baptized by John. Immediately after his baptism and equipped by the Holy Spirit for the office of Redeemer, he was led by the Spirit in the desert to be tempted. An important thing in terms of his going to the wilderness is that he went to the desert not passively, but positively, led by Holy Spirit to be tempted. Anyway, Jesus had been tempted from his childhood, just like all of us have been tempted, but this is a special time of temptation. Think about the time when Jesus was tempted. This is the time that Jesus was trying to start his public redemptive ministry after he came to this world. As God the Son, he has worked for the salvation of his covenant people in his grace and sovereignty before his incarnation together with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. But now, 30 years passed after he came to the world, according to God the Father's redemptive design. It was time for him to start his public mission to save his people, being supported by the Holy Spirit. He was baptized by John for that purpose, and was pulled by Holy Spirit. Thus, the devil assaulted Jesus in the tremendously important time in the life of Jesus, our Lord. Satan attempted the first Adam to prevent God's purpose in creation and to destroy the loving relationship with God. Now, that Satan tempted the second Adam to prevent his public mission in this world to save his people. Looking back my church planting ministries in different mission fields, I have to confess how often the devil seriously tempted me, my family, and our church members to prevent and destroy our missions to expand the kingdom of God. Looking at the churches today in North America and Korea or Japan or many countries in the world, we, the people of God, are easily able to say clearly how often and how seriously the devil has assaulted and tempted the churches and God's people to prevent and destroy their commissions to build up churches and be witness for Christ. Now, most of you, as students of RTS, are in preparation here at RTS to serve our Lord and for His kingdom more effectively. It is very important. But remember, the devil's temptation is not only for your future ministries, but it is now, in your preparation period, to prevent God's purpose through your life as His faithful witness. The devil tempted Jesus as he was trying to start his public mission in this world. There is one more significant thing we have to see about the time Jesus was tempted. Verse 1 says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert. And verse 2 says, where for the 40 days he was tempted by the devil. But if we read the Matthew 4 and 2, one of the parables of this verse, Matthew testifies as the following. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And verse 3 says, the tempter came to him. Now, what do we learn from these verses? Spiritually speaking, as the verse testifies, Jesus was full of Holy Spirit. Also, he was well equipped spiritually through the 40 days and 40 nights fasting with the prayers. In other words, spiritually speaking, Jesus was in the best condition and well equipped. At that point, the devil tempted Jesus. I have met some of my Christian friends who were tempted after they had prayed very seriously. It was not only their problem, but I have experienced the same problem through my Christian journey. There is no fortified zone in spiritual warfare. Therefore, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10 and 12, so if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Now, let's go into how Jesus handled the temptations. What is the contents of the temptation of the devil? And how was Jesus tempted by the devil? And how did Jesus handle the temptations? The first temptation was to turn stone into bread. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus was hungry after his fasting 40 days and 40 nights. In this situation, the devil tempted him with what Jesus needed immediately for his physical life. Thus, the devil knows what we need immediately and attacks God's people with that issue. What is Jesus' response then? Verse 4 and 4 says, Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." In Matthew 4 and 4, Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Jesus quotes the Deuteronomy 8 and 3 for his answer. There are similar temptations that come our way. So many people in the world today, and even Christians, have the tendency to think in terms of living by bread alone. They are thinking in this way: we must satisfy our physical needs and desires, then we'll take care of our spirit. But what does our Lord say about this issue? He says in Matthew 6:30-33 as the following: "So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." And so, the first temptation is a temptation to focus on our immediate physical needs without paying attention to our spiritual priority as God's covenant people. The second temptation in Luke is the third one in Matthew. Matthew's gospel somehow has the proper order, so let's go to the verse 9 for the second temptation. Verse 9 and 10 says, "The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. And if you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully." One interesting point in the first and second temptation, the devil tempted Jesus, pointing out his fundamental identity. He attacks Jesus saying, "If you are the Son of God," in other words, if you are the Christian, in terms of today, "then he suggests the use of his power as the Son of God to test God, to see if he really keeps his promise. The devil used the scripture from the Psalm 91:11 for his purpose, distorting the original meaning of the word of God. From there, the devil provides a wrong guarantee. Stimulus Christian identity, and next using the word of God, distorting the original meaning of the scripture intentionally, and providing a wrong guarantee. This is a pattern of Satan's temptation. What was Jesus' response? In verse 12, Jesus answered, it says, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." Jesus used the scripture again from the Deuteronomy 6 and 16. "Do not test the Lord your God as you did in Massah." It was a clear and firm response toward the devil. The devil is not our partner to discuss together to reach a certain goal. When the devil tempts us to misuse our identity and our power for ourselves or against the Lord, we need to take a clear and firm attitude toward Satan based upon the word of God. Do not put the Lord, your God, to the test. The third temptation. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdom of the world. And he said to him, "I'll give you all their authority and splendor, for it has given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. So if you worship me, it will all be yours." Here we can see the devil's identity. He is just a liar. Can Satan give this kingdom to Jesus? Are they delivered to him to give to whomever he wills? There is a sense in which Satan is the god of this world, or the prince of this world. In that, he controls the great majority of men. He is their master. They are in his kingdom. Thus, society, to some degree, is under his control. But there is not control in the absolute sense. He cannot deliver these kingdoms to whomever he wills. God is in absolute control. How Jesus handled the temptation? Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord, your God, and serve him only. Again, Jesus used the Old Testament from the Deuteronomy 6 and 3. He declared the true object worship, which means the to whom we have to worship. The living God who created all and who saved us in Christ is the only one who we have to worship. In Matthew, before Jesus explained to whom we have to worship, he promised to Satan, away from me, Satan. Now, let's think about Jesus' victory from the temptation. As a real man, Jesus tempted greatly from Satan through his life. But the important thing is that he never sinned. Hebrews 4 and 15 says, we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Being tempted itself is not sin. But being defeated or fallen by temptation is sin. When I read a Bible study in Memphis for Japanese ladies Bible study, one day I asked the Japanese ladies, there was 10 Japanese ladies, can you beat or can you overcome from the Satan's attack? I asked individually. The first lady said, no, I cannot. Second one, thinking of the first lady's answer, probably I cannot make it because I'm just a man. I'm ready. All the ladies said, I cannot overcome. I was thinking, oh, I have to challenge you very seriously. That's why I said, no, you can! I said, you are right. If you try to overcome by yourself, you cannot. But we can overcome in Christ. If we cannot overcome the temptation in Christ, then we have a problem. But we can overcome the temptation in Christ with his help, with his power. We, as God's people, are in the devil's temptation even every day and everywhere. But we have the great high priest who is able to sympathize with our weakness. He overcame the temptations. In him, we are able to overcome the temptation. In him, we have true peace and victory. Our Lord says, I have told you these things, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Then what do we have to do? Rely on him daily in prayers and with his words. Remember how Jesus handled the temptation. Using the words of God rightly, he drove away the devil who misused the word of God for his own purpose. Do not fear the devil's temptation and attack. He is just a liar. Trust and follow our Lord, who already defeated all the devil's power and temptations. Paul encourages us, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Thank you for your sending your only Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In Him we have received eternal life and eternal blessings. We meet many unexpected troubles, difficulties, and temptations in our life, but we confess that we are able to overcome those problems in your Son, because Christ already overcame those problems and temptations. Thank you for your blessings on us to overcome the temptations with you. Please bless us continually to overcome the temptations and to be effective witnesses for you in the world. We love you, our Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand and let's sing 572, just verse 1. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ